Welcome to the August 17th Belle Plaine Finance Ways and Means meeting. Roll call, Councilmember Stacy.
Here.
Hartman.
Here.
Tease.
Here.
Otto.
Here.
Mayor Evans is here, as well as city staff. Looking for approval of the agenda.
I'll move on the agenda.
I'll second.
Motion made and, by Hartman, seconded by Tease. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carry. On to 3.1, approval of minutes from August 3rd, 2026.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Motion made by Stacy, seconded by Hartman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carry. On to 4.1, preliminary 27 budget. And I will turn that over to Amy.
So if you, from the last time we discussed, I brought back the one comparison. So department capital was asked for, so I you have that handout, yes. So the first page is our cash flow, how we cash flow that and the expected levies and where we're at for those values. The second page is the capital listing that you've seen before, but it's just sorted by department with the department total on there. So that was provided per request. The other item that I had per request that we're following up on are street projects, the future of those. And I think that was it. Department head was bringing back priorities on their capital, but I'm not sure that'll be for a longer discussion. So it's where you would like to begin or what you would like to look at.
Okay, council, the capital. So if you want to take a look at the infrastructure, the five-year capital improvement plan sheet that Amy provided. And questions, comments, concerns.
I spent a little bit of time talking to different department heads. And there's a couple that I think that we should look at and decide whether we keep it, move it back, or eliminate it entirely. The first one being the speed slide for the aquatic center.
So, yep, so perfect. Thank you for that. Amy, if we move it back, what does it save? If we kill it off altogether, is it the 168 that would come back? Can you give us those numbers on what? Scare me. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
You awake now?
Yeah. Here. So what that actually looks like in dollars.
Can I ask first, what's a speed slide?
It was that big slide that was going to go, a separate slide outside of the pool.
It's an addition.
I think that's what you do.
It's an addition to the existing aquatic center.
Did you say like
$168,000?
I think they said it was like 60 or 100 feet in the air or something. It was like super like tall. Yeah,
cool.
Like you go like
Kawabunga.
We ever have surplus, it's something to consider, but I don't think that's coming for a while. So
no, I would actually my feeling would be to eliminate it from the improvement plan altogether.
Me too.
It's something that you would go to Valley Fair for. It's not something you go to your local community pool for.
But to your point,
sense.
Brady, like if 5 years down the road our capital position is completely different, we come back to it and revisit it. But I don't think it should be part of our current plans at all. That's my personal.
Oh, I agree with that,
Luke.
I think we can just take it off, really.
Okay, so what does that look like, Amy?
I the capital, we would, I can get back to you on that cash flow, but it looks like it would, because right now there's a negative amount. So it would have a difference on the future impact in the future capital. But right now we're in the hole right now for the aquatic center anyway, so it wouldn't have an impact on this year's budget, but it would for the future.
It technically would though, right? Because we're still saving for the deck restoration in 2030. Right? So it would.
Yeah, so this is taking out, so right now we have a negative 279 in that fund, because we just finished deck restoration that we didn't have the money for. So if we take that out, we still need 912,000 in 5 years to pay this back plus have that. So average would be 182. So it wouldn't affect 2027, but it would decrease these future capital plans in order to cash flow to be able to do the debt. But right now it's locked with the pivot table, so I can for sure bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's, just so I understand that, that's from the prior deck restoration that we did and didn't have the capital to fund it?
Yes.
Where did we pull that money from?
We borrowed against the capital for the aquatic center.
Got it. Okay.
We took some from the budget, and that was scheduled, and then we took the rest from fiscal or two funds. So it will have an impact in the future as we plan it out.
Okay. I also spoke with Chief Steer about the Emergency Mobile Command and K-9 program, and it sounds like he's got potentially some alternative ideas that likely need to be kind of reworked from what's here today. I don't know if he has any kind of like amount that he has in mind that he would need, but one idea he threw out was just renovating an existing vehicle that the city has to retrofit it for something along those lines. But I think at least right now we could push that out at minimum a year, couldn't we?
Sorry, yes, I had a conversation with him about that. And
okay.
Just before I walked in, and he was saying the same exact thing.
Perfect.
So that's like taking a Tahoe or something and just like
taking
making it like a mobile command unit if you needed it for police, fire, like that? Is that what you're talking about?
The fire department has what right now that you guys are looking to...
We have the rescue van right now that's been in talks about doing something with that.
Oh, okay.
Turning that into like a drone vehicle and on-site vehicle for different emergencies. They're looking at taking it out of service. Instead of getting pennies for it, we could possibly retrofit that to make it work for us.
Okay. So.
Very preliminary right now.
For sure. So, Amy, if we push that off, what would that do?
But for 1 year, you won't see like impact because it's still in your capital plan.
But I'm assuming what they're doing isn't 112,000.
Yeah, so they would have a
what goes into that? The whole, I mean, I don't want to say it wouldn't be 112,000. right?
Yeah, so a little perspective is to outfit a Tahoe is $28,000. You buy the Tahoe from Sachs, and then we send it to an outfitter. It's $28,000 minus the laptop, and so you're actually looking at more like $40,000 with the laptop and radio. It very easily could hop up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But not something we're looking to do in 27.
How far? Go ahead.
Well, is there mutual aid agreements with like the Minnewaukaton and the Scott County? They both have mobile command units.
Yes.
I mean, in the event that there is a disaster, which you need a mobile command unit, I would assume our mutual aid would render aid.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
I personally think if you guys feel that there's no major safety risk, it should at least go out 2 years so that we can get some other, I would say, like some better footing underneath us with our capital to be able to pay for that rather than trying to levy, call it $100,000 or $120,000 in 1 year to then pay for it. If we can kick it out 2 to 3 years, at least it makes a substantial impact on the amount that we have to levy each year, and then it would give him time, or you guys time, to assess actual cost and come with a real number. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Amy, if we pushed it out to 29, would there be?
I don't think there was any funding for that one yet.
There's nothing pre-set aside for it?
We have money set aside for it, right?
Well, you only have $134,000 in your capital fund. So. Well,
that's great. I have $227,000 for this year.
Capital?
Sorry.
But if you kick that out.
I'll just walk through the sheet here. So we have this row 14. Let me make it a little bigger here. You can see it from there. So this is the money that we have on hand right now in the 402 for that department. So if we just move that 200, if we move 112,000 down 2 years, we're still in 5 years going to need that same amount. And so this, the rest on the way down, is to get the cash flow where we need it for 5 years. So it doesn't do a huge impact to move it down. But those are things I can come back with. This sheet is lots of presentation. So we can, but that this any amount of 733,000, if we're just pushing it down 2 or 3 years, doesn't have a huge impact on how much we need to set aside for having that cash value in 5 years.
Yeah, and so you're saying essentially you have $134,000 set aside in cash today for capital expenses in the police department. Over a five-year planning cycle, you need $734,000.
Yep.
So you have to close a gap of $600,000 over a five-year span, no matter what. Okay.
And
that's a rolling number.
Have a plan to do, you know, this year was, I believe, a $10,000 increase to $135,000. 2025, 2029, 2140, 2030, 2035,
so slow gradual increase in order to get to that amount. So according to this, the only place that there's really actually money is in admin.
And that's the material for the inside.
although moving that back to 2029 does not change the five-year capital needs, it still impacts 2027 because we would have to levy against that if we left it where it sits today, right? Because to be able to pay for the mobile command unit center and everything else within that capital improvement plan for police, which totaled 227, we would have to levy against that.
So we talked about dumping the speed slide altogether and then pushing off the, or retrofitting the emergency command, not buying one, but retrofitting. But we, it doesn't, doing any of that doesn't save us anything.
Yeah. So. And you don't have any idea what the retrofitting
costs are. Correct.
I'll let you go.
Anybody else have any others?
I was just curious about the, when we talk about the bathrooms and shelters at the parks, in my understanding, not that long ago, we talked about a different way of doing it. Is this the most up-to-date numbers for that? We talked about a cheaper, easier, more feasible in-house way of
building. Yeah, so these numbers still include the cheaper way of doing it.
Okay.
In-house, because, again, just a reminder, it's more than just a bathroom in the parks.
Yeah.
Additional structures. So, and we still have to have it engineered to look at it. So, yeah. But yeah, it would include that cost. Yep.
So, and then this front page, and I'm sorry, Brady, I just want to confirm. That front page we're looking at is just the equipment. It doesn't include the project.
Got it. Okay.
Will you say that again?
Yeah. Oh.
So this cash flow here is for projects. It's for what's on this. I did change to the. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in error for the park. Park does include those structures, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, 27. We are going to spend, if we did everything, $1.1 million. And according to this sheet, we have 63,000. Otherwise, nothing else is funded. So,
I'm sorry, what row are you? So we have.
Just the whole 2027. Like, if you look at all the projects for next year, the grand total is 1.1 if you go to this.
Yeah, right here on the bottom.
Yep. Yep.
And if we do cash across all departments, we have 3.3.
We don't have any of that money, though. The underfunded is.
No, we have that money.
This underfunded is over the five-year plan. So this is taking all these 5 years. Just a clipper. I know there's a lot of numbers here.
The underfunded is the total for the next 5 years.
Yes.
So the Aquatic Center has 175,000 in it. No, in what does it have in it? It's negative, 279,000.
I
Anybody else got anything they want to go over?
I think when I look at a lot of this capital, all these major capital purchases, like anything over, honestly, probably a $50,000 threshold, I would love to understand when the last time we did a break-even analysis on the like replacement cycle of those.
Mm.
So rather, you know, if we did it last year, that's obviously very different than if we did it 5-7 years ago. And I would just like to understand when we came up with that replacement cycle, and have we revisited that to see if that analysis is still valid.
Anyway, if I'm on the right track, if that's what you're asking, that's...
Yeah, it is. I think, and there may not be like this really in-depth process that I'm, you know, alluding to right now, but how do we take a look at some of that stuff and really try to understand, is a 5-year replacement cycle on a police squad car the right thing versus 7 years? And that's just a random example, not anything specific that I necessarily want to dig into, but I do think it's worth revisiting that process in general. Look at a loader, mowers, pickups, skid steer, tractor, squad cars, you know, all of this stuff has massive, when you combine it all, has a really, really big impact on the amount we're levying every year. I think it would be worth going through that process to understand if it's still on the right schedule.
I agree.
I will add that the mechanic will have a lot to say in all this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Him and I have had discussions. He is very frustrated right now, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the fact that we are piecemealing a lot of putting things mm-hmm. together piece by piece. We've had quite a few items that have been pushed back, especially like you're going to see 2 pickups on mine in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of piecing something together, and now you're stuck with 2 versus 1 type thing.
Yeah.
So is that cost effective? No. But, again, with what you're saying, I think the mechanic has to have a big role in this.
Absolutely.
So
I think that insight and feedback is really important in that. I'm not saying that in the sense that I want to go look to push back every single thing that we can, but it's more about the process in general and making sure that when we look at a 5-year look, you know, if you start to rework that replacement schedule over a 5- and 10-year span, it looks substantially different than it would today if we continued the exact same thing with just assuming that it should be the same.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and it's hard because you sit in a board decision policy direction position when we work in the day-to-day with that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things are looked at. We use industry standards, right? That's why fire, we know, looking on their information, we haven't updated theirs regularly enough. We know that we probably are a little behind because since the call increase and the amount of time they're out, we have not adjusted for that. And they've had large growth in the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So theirs, is, we know, is off. But we look at the industry standards. We look at the recommendations based on a lot of different pieces that are connected back to local government. Then we also use historical data. And then we start looking at advancements, right? So sometimes equipment advances so fast that waiting 10 years isn't viable because you start losing efficiencies and abilities, as well as not meeting the requirements that are now being put in place standardized. And then at the very end, we start looking at what is it costing us? Is this piece of equipment performing better than we anticipated, and can we hold, or is it not, and it's failing faster than anticipated, and we need to address it? So we do look at those things in a holistic view quite often, and just a data analysis on a spreadsheet doesn't hold every piece of that. So it's not that staff's not doing those things, and we change this periodically based on that.
Okay.
And that's why it's presented that way.
Got it. Okay.
And it, you know, it also will go back to sometimes when we look at specific line items and you're like, well, for every other year, this one's over. We understand that, but if we baseline it here, we know that every 3 years there's a training here that throws us over, but 2 years we'll be under, so we're kind of a balanced number.
Yeah.
So we do those analysis.
Okay.
And it's all of those items that are looked at, and that's what kind of queued up fire department being like, ugh,
yeah,
we have not done that often enough. So we know next year's capital we're going to be looking and reevaluating because their call volumes increased significantly enough that it could have an impact on replacement timings.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think that's exactly why, you know, when we were sitting on Friday going through a lot of this with the finance department, we talked about the pumper truck, I think, or one of those items that was like, our call volume has increased so much that we're using the equipment's life, you know, expectancy, it's shrinking faster. Is that the same thing? When was the last time we looked at the police department? Because then that creates unexpected expenses that are not planned for and not financed yet. So it's like the inverse, not just push things back. It's, are they in the right spot?
Yeah.
And we do that more holistically. And I think you have to remember it was only a few years ago where we actually have some stability in leadership at the fire department. We never used to have that. And so we'd have change over there, and then it was we're changing the whole fleet plan. So we just have that stability, and that's where that's somewhere we're lacking in their capital planning. I think it was done much more regularly with the other departments. Mm-hmm. But we definitely, it's something we have to stay on. And like I said, it's a several point view that we have to look at it. And ultimately, at the very end, we start looking at the piece of equipment itself, right?
Yep.
So an example for the police department, just because we're on a five-year rotation doesn't mean we necessarily purchase one at 5 years. Our oldest police squad is 2019. Instead of replacing it, we, council and mechanic, opted to put a new transmission in it.
Okay.
So 2019 is our oldest road vehicle, then we have a 2020. So we're not always just once 5 years hits replacing them, but we meet with the mechanic, we go over the bills from Sachs, the bills from him, take his advice, and then come to a decision at that point.
We also started admin vehicles for PD a few years back.
Yeah.
So that takes some additional mileage off the patrol cars. So we've been able to do that as well. So like I said, there's a much more holistic that has to be addressed in that. It's not just a data spreadsheet that it lasts for X number of hours.
Yeah. I think that's important context, not only for us sitting here, but people listening. The community should know that that's a very diligent process. And as I've gone through a lot of this budgeting, I mean, you guys can attest to the fact that I've gotten very, very into the weeds. And I think we do a phenomenal job for the most part. There's very, very little that I look at and I'm like, actually there's zero that I've been like, what are we doing? You know, it actually has been very relieving to see what I've found. So I appreciate that.
Hi, Cynthia. Sell me on why you need a vehicle.
The RAV4 is a 2014.
I used to own one of those. They're nice.
The inspectors love it. but we know at some point, thank you, at some point we're going to need a vehicle. We thought we had a plan earlier this year with the forfeiture vehicle, and that ended up, council went a different direction ultimately on that. So it's back in the plan for purchase in 2027.
And your RAV4 was a forfeiture vehicle,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so we're open to if we find ideas. However, we rotate those again. The RAV4 mainly stays in town because mm-hmm. of the age. Not high mileage, but it doesn't have all the safety features either. but it will rotate the vehicle that leaves town, which is used for training if fire department takes it for a weekend or tours, or when we have out-of-town individuals. It's used in town regularly for inspections, but this one is used for other things, for administration, transport, that type of stuff, other departments. That'll rotate into a lesser mode as the new one comes on. So again, we try to ensure that what we're doing is expanding the lifetime as much as we can.
And the vehicle cost that's included, we've been budgeting $5,000 or something for a vehicle for each year, knowing that we would eventually have to replace. When is the right time to replace? We need a new vehicle. It is a 2014. It isn't a matter of how long it's going to last. It's when it's not going to work anymore. We need at least a all-wheel drive vehicle because they do go on construction sites. Inspectors don't want a pickup because they carry equipment out to the site, levels to shoot elevations and things like that. So what we were looking at is an EV vehicle. It would be a Equinox, not a Blazer, just a Chevy Equinox. It retails...
I love my Equinox.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah, and it's all-wheel drive, right? It retails for mid-40s, but we know that we have to have charging infrastructure. We're confident that we can work with Public Works to actually park indoors as needed in the winter. Otherwise, it would be parked out here. We do have conduit that we installed under the asphalt in the parking lot when we redid that for a charging station. So we're confident that we can get the infrastructure needed for the EV ready, up and ready as well.
Okay. Anybody else have anything on the capital? All right, Amy, what do you got? Anything else?
The other question is for you. I asked Engineer Duncan for the about projects. I know that was a question, and again, these are this is what he provided. This has been presented before. Again, these are the areas we know, and we're always televising each year and figuring out which one is the high priority. These have been on our list for a long time. We've had to break them down in order to be able to finance them a little bit easier than doing just large projects. So this is the, I believe this was requested, so I want to make sure that everyone has this. Once again, please review.
These are all the full reconstruct, is that right?
Yes, there's okay. Also reclamation that needs to be done on the...
it's a completely separate map and plan.
Correct.
Right.
And that's okay. Why we leave room, you know, the $1.5 million project that year, then we were estimating to do a $500,000 reclamation each year.
Is the 1.5 on Trunk Highway 25, is that getting done? What's on this year's project? or 27.
The proposed 2027?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be the 1 and 200 block of South Linden Street and the 5 and 600 block of East Prairie Street. So if you look kind of across. Middle and to the right, that plus area, yep, over. Right there, correct.
Are we, remind me on, because if we approve the roundabout tonight, that little section is going to get done then?
So, Don can correct me if I'm wrong. So that's the area for the roundabout, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right there. That section up through the alleyway on North Walnut will be the only section done.
That's the street, Amy. It only goes to the alley behind, yeah, right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that goes all the way to the church. I think it just goes.
It does not go all the way to the
church.
It just
goes through the alley.
It just goes to the alley.
Yep.
And will the, based on the cost estimates, the grant will cover almost all of the surfacing costs. We will have some costs associated with utilities, underground utilities. And those were planned. That's where we had the failure of water valves.
Correct.
On the water line, plus we have stormwater issue in that. And we knew that. Mm-hmm. When Main Street was redone as part of the downtown redevelopment, part of that correction was stormwater, and that's why it went down to that corner. So yep. We'll be picking up where we left off there to correct that. And those funds... we're well aware of this and are planned. But you won't be bonding anything for that project. It's paid for by the grant.
Okay, anybody have any more on that? All right, 4.2, BRA.
So since the fire department, the rural, not the rural fire, see, I get all the acronyms mixed up. Fire Relief Association has disbanded, and now the fire pension is with PARA. Council is the governing body. So every year, PARA, now in August, provides us with this report of where they are for valuations. And so I'm presenting it to council. It's yours as a governing board. The fire department members, the members of PARA, do have this report too. They will most likely be coming to council to talk about their benefit. But at this time, this is a report for your information purposes only. Their investments are doing well with PARA, as you can see. And just to give you a heads up, they most likely, probably, will be coming forward to they will be. Let's just go with that. They will be coming forward to talk about their amount of benefit.
So I believe I asked you. In an email too, they want a number.
Yeah, they grant. Want a different value. So
if you go to page 4, I'm just going to run you through this very lightly. So when the request does come before you, you're very familiar with this. So if you go to page 4, at the very bottom, item number 6 says, or at the very top in the blue, it says your current benefit level. That's what they get for each year of service once they're vested. Otherwise, it's a percentage. If they're under the 20 years, they get a percentage starting at 5 years, and then the percentage goes up after that. If they've been on 20 years, they get that amount of a benefit level for every year of service that they have. So they PARA just does a random run of here's the numbers you, as the governing body, could choose to increase that benefit level to. We know that the benefit level for PARA retirement is a retention and a tool that we can use to attract individuals to this type of, because pay is not great, there's a lot of time involved, right? And this is one of our attraction and retention tools for this position. So on the top, it gives you the different numbers. On the very bottom, line six, and like I said, I'll try to be real brief, that tells you the municipal contribution required at all those levels at today's current standing projected, right? Today. As a finance person, Amy and I, we look up on item number three, the funded ratio, because we have to ensure the city's prepared for disaster, right? That means everybody cashes out tomorrow. You, even though you don't have a required municipal contribution on an annual basis, everything crashes, you disband the fire department, you have to pay everybody out. That's how much of the payment is in that account, and the rest you will have to find somewhere. So that's your gambling bet. So the fire department is well aware of that. The members are aware of it. They have a group that gets together and has a discussion. They will be asking for an increase in their annual benefit. They've asked Amy to have a couple additional numbers run from para.
So the councils, I have been number one supporter of the fire department since I got on here. I said I'd take care of them. I'm pretty sure when I started, they were at like 2,000 something a year. 2,800. I'm
pretty sure it was 28. And when we switched to para, they were able to get a large increase because of the management difference in how para handles it versus what they were trying to do on their own.
So, 4 years, they have more than doubled.
Right? 28, 58?
Right, more than, yeah.
So they doubled.
They doubled. It's currently, so yeah. So.
They by no means are the highest compared to surrounding towns, but they are on a better track than where they were.
And there's not, and I'm not going to sit here and say they shouldn't come forward. I believe they probably should, but.
Is there I'll call it like an industry standard. Is there an average that you found?
So it's really hard to say that. Departments are different. When you start looking at, a lot of people like to compare Belle Plaine to Jordan, but there's even a difference in that. Jordan is not under para. We are under para. Some of the others that are under para, either they're a part-time or they're a full-time, they all have a different basis. One of the things we do ask that when they request an increase is that they bring you the surrounding area's benefits, just so you're aware. What does it look like going? So we do ask that they bring that information to you as well.
Was this increased last year?
It was.
It's been increased every year that I've been on council. We've been given like.
And in addition to the increase, we looked at the numbers, and then we actually increased the increase last year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We gave them an over what they...
No, they asked for something, and we looked at the numbers. We were trying to be safe about the numbers, and so we only allotted the $100 increase. After rerunning the numbers, they came back, and we gave them that $200 increase.
Yeah, right.
Correct. So, the request isn't before you yet, but we'd like to make sure you have all the information ahead of time.
And this is one of the benefits with moving to para, is because they've been able to increase their benefit, which helps with the retention.
Perfect. Questions on PERA from the fire department? Okay, so,
Mayor, do you want two more things?
Yep.
Statements. One, I sent out second quarter financials or any email that should be received. Let me know if you have any questions. And then two, I do have some estimated bond runs for public safety facilities.
So this isn't really part of the finance ways and means, unless you want it to be.
Just giving you the information.
So tonight at the council meeting, we're going to have the a discussion on the renovation of the police department. This is the bond run for the police department. This will not be a discussion tonight. This is not on. We're just talking about the project itself and whether we're moving forward. But this gives you an idea of what it would be. It looks like it's a 15-year level, a 20-year level. You know,
there's eight scenarios.
Can you just?
We ran it for 15-year. We ran it for 20-year. 15-year, we did it as a level. So that means each 15 years, the levy is level. We also did that for 20 years at a level amount. And then we did 15 years with a step up every 5 years, and we did a 20-year with a step up every 5 years. So that way we're sort of accounting for growth. Then Ehlers also did another one. They repeated all of those again with capitalizing interest the first year. So those are the last four of capitalizing interest. You also notice with that capitalizing interest, our bond amount increased slightly too. But actually the capitalized interest with a 20-year was actually your lowest impact. So that's why they ran it. So these, again, are options just to give you information. So the ranges, as you look through this, the ranges are from $59.06 to $84 impact on an average home.
So again, this is just for helping make your decision tonight, but we will have this. The bond discussion will not be till December.
We don't want to issue the bond this year. We can use our cash to get through, and then it'll lower our levy will be closer to finishing the project time.
Okay, and so then we have to talk about what the council wants to see for like the next finance ways and means. What do we want to do? Do we want to go through the budget line by line? Do people want to bring their ideas? How do we want to address this? We have the preliminary budget, the second meeting in September. So we can talk about how to do it. My opinion is the preliminary budget is just the preliminary budget. It's literally preliminary. And after that point, we will dissect it. I think the goal of most of the people on here is to get it to zero or as close to zero as possible. But we don't know all the numbers. You know, there's a lot of numbers that are still out there that don't come in until October after we have to approve the preliminary budget. So it's just up to you guys. What you guys are we good moving the preliminary budget at the 3.8%? 3.8% increase. And then we dissect it after that for the final.
I am with the understanding that it, after prelim, it cannot go up. It can only go down.
Correct.
So, yeah, I know that.
I just need direction. What is What does council want to see?
Rex?
We definitely will dissect at some point, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a few things that are like different works in process that probably take a considerable amount of time that I am personally okay with going forward with this as the preliminary, knowing that we are going to do a considerable amount of work afterward when we have the final county numbers, final state numbers, all of that.
And I can say that I have already looked at it, and I have a clear way to get us to zero that does not hurt or impact the city at all. So, and so I'm comfortable waiting for the numbers to come in and then doing it, because I can get us to zero. That's not, I mean, we're talking about 380,000. I can get you there. So. As long as, what did you say? So just looking for, so anybody else? Brady, give me some words of wisdom.
It's hard. It's hard to give you words of wisdom. I mean, this is a lot of information handed to me. Quarterly report I got 5 minutes before this meeting. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of data. I believe you. I support your plan. I understand that it only can go down, so I'm game for that, and I support that. I don't think we need to go necessarily line by line, but if we do our homework and select items and topics in those meetings and address them and question where they lie, I think that's there's a benefit to that.
So let's adopt this as a preliminary.
I would adopt it if we move the if we remove the speed slide. Just kidding. We don't have to do.
Go on.
Honestly, we don't really have to do any of that until like it's a complete work. But again, we can't go up. It can only go down. And I think the long term, like strong capital planning process that the city has had puts us in a position that we're coming in at 3.892 while Anoka County, Ramsey, and a lot of other municipalities are coming in the high teens. So,
I mean, and if you guys want to have another discussion, we can set we can do it the second meeting in September, so we could set a work session for the first meeting in, what month are we in? First meeting in September,
mm-hmm.
Like that first council meeting that like at 3 o'clock, we could do a finance way just to make sure we're all on the same page for the preliminary and then approve it at the second. I'm assuming that would be okay if you guys want to, you know, review numbers or if you have other stuff you want to look at. I mean, timing-wise, we just would have to do it at that second meeting, right?
Yeah, well,
don't want to say you have to. We have to by the end of September. You could always call a special council meeting. Traditionally, we adopt it at the second meeting. So just want to be careful that I'm not misleading you.
So, again, I don't know that we have to give a direct – I don't know that – I mean, I like your idea. I think that's fair to adopt this if everybody wants to. If somebody wants to look at the numbers, we can still have another meeting before we are going to adopt it anyways. Luke? Hi, Luke.
Hello.
What do you think?
I mean, I'd like to see it zero, but, I mean, that's not just realistic today, so. I'd actually like to see it in the negatives, but.
Might get you there. Might get you there.
I just think residents are increasingly more frustrated with the amount of tax dollars that comes out of their households and It's only getting worse.
Cynthia, what is the median household income in South Plains?
Yep, 99,000.
Are we lower than surrounding, right?
We are. The Met Council, I can send this out in an email to you. The Met Council has data on their website for each community, and it's really a cool tool. If you can look at my screen, you can just compare across county. You can compare across.
Somebody's on the screen with
their email. Do you have?
Here.
Did you email it to me? Sure. Okay.
But anybody can go here and anybody can play around with this tool, and it just gives you a quick chart. You can compare any community to Belle Plaine in the metropolitan area, and you can compare any county to Belle Plaine, and then you can click on the state median average as well. So click on the link. This will take you to what's called the community profile page that the Met Council has. Go down to income and poverty. Middle of the screen, fourth tab. Click on that. You can scroll down. There's median household income. Stop. Click on county. Check the box in front of county. Furthest to the left. Check the box in front of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the state. And then pick a place you want to compare. You want to compare to Jordan?
Oh, I like the.
Scroll down to Jordan. And check compare another place, and that brings it up. So I'll play you the blue.
Blue. Yeah.
The light green is the county, Scott County. The orange is Minneapolis, St. Paul. And the olive green, furthest on the right, is Jordan. So I will tell you that for jurisdictions that are as small as we are, that ACH data, it is a look back over 5 years. It's not just a 1 year period, but it's a very small sample. It's 1 or 2% of the population. So,
there's a different years.
So, here's 1990 census, that's a good number for this, right? And then 2000, the next step up, Amy. So, going from left to right, 1990, census 2000.
Yep.
American Community Survey, five-year estimate, so that would be 2015, then 2020 ACH, and 2025 ACH. ACH is American Community Survey. So we won't get good census data in until 2013.
Okay.
But yeah, so we're at 99,000.
What else can you do on this website besides median household income?
Scroll down. Personal income, percent of the population below the top. Some of them you can compare, but not all of them. You can't compare all of them. So if you could scroll back up, go to the next one, housing. Click on that. You'll see the housing type in Belle Plaine. If you go further down, go to, keep going. Affordability. Keep scrolling down. Yep, home ownership rate, you can compare. So you can select and compare. I think we can compare, gross rent, and then it should be, if you keep scrolling down, the burden. Right here, housing. Are you going to have to go through and get individual communities there? But some of them, they have the dashboard where you can compare everything, and some of them, they don't. But if you go back to the original landing page for the community profile, you're not going to get it here because they selected Belle Plaine. But if you go back to the initial landing page, you can get to any community.
Good to know. And you can share that link with all of us?
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yep. Sorry.
So sorry.
I will do that right now.
Got your pen.
Thanks, Councilmember Stacy. I appreciate it.
So, Finance, Ways and Means meeting, first Monday in September to move, change, or?
September 1st is a Tuesday.
Oh, are we having a council meeting?
September 1st is a Monday.
Is it?
Oh, it's a Tuesday. It's the 8th because the 7th is late.
Oh, I'll be here.
Okay, do you guys want to do that? 3 o'clock on Tuesday, the 8th?
Yeah.
Support that. Luke?
Yep.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Fire.
Okay. Yeah. With that, see y'all in a couple hours. Look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried.